Greetings, this is Robert Noya, editor of Sky and Telescope magazine. I'm on the phone today with astronomer Tyler Nordgren of the University of Redlands, which is near Los Angeles, California. Tyler authored the cover story of our May 2012 issue about astronomy in national parks. He also authored the book Stars Above, Earth Below, A Guide to Astronomy in the National Parks, upon which his article is based. Tyler, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, I assume that your interest in national parks is a side project. Well, what is your main area of research in astronomy?
Oh, I've done a number of projects in the past. I'm an observational astronomer. I cut my teeth using the Palomar 200-inch looking at interacting galaxy pairs, and then went on to optical interferometry looking at the pulsation of Cepheid variables. So it's really stars and galaxies.
And how did you get this interest in astronomy and national parks?
It was a completely chance encounter. I had just gotten tenure here at Redlands and decided to treat myself by taking a vacation up to Yosemite National Park. And while I was there, I did what every park visitor does. I went to the Evening Ranger program, and it was an astronomy talk. And I thought, well, fantastic. I like astronomy. But as I was sitting there in this amphitheater with about 100 other people, it suddenly dawned on me that people were just eating this up. They were amazed that they were seeing things they'd never seen before. And I realized that if there was a single place that we astronomers could really reach out to the public about the research we're doing and get these folks when they're primed to learn more about the universe, national parks are really it, because that's the place that most people see the stars.
Since you first got this idea, how many national parks in the U.S. have you visited?
Oh, at this point, I think I'm somewhere in the dozen at least. I spent my sabbatical traveling a year's worth of travel through about 16 national parks and about another dozen or so national monuments and forests. At this point, I'm now at the stage of trying to fill in the blanks and get to those last few parks I haven't visited.
Do you have a favorite national park?
Typically, my favorite national park is whatever park I'm at the time. There are some places that I just absolutely love, though. Grand Canyon is perhaps the park I've been to the most. Even though it's a seven-hour drive from Redlands, it's somehow become my local national park. I hike down to the bottom, I've run the river on rafts this last fall, and just North Rim, South Rim, and the views from there are just absolutely spectacular.
So it does sound like if you had to just go to one from now on, it probably would be Grand Canyon.
Well, it depends. If the single best view I've ever had of, say, the Milky Way at night was pretty much a tie between Great Basin National Park in Nevada and Big Bend National Park in Texas. So if I could only see the sky from one place, it would be one of those two. But in terms of just the interaction with the public and the full experience, Grand Canyon is my favorite.
A lot of professional astronomers can't identify constellations, like don't know the basics of amateur observational astronomy. I would think that doing all this traveling to national parks and becoming a big admirer of the night sky in and of itself, you've probably gotten pretty familiar with constellations, the brighter stars, etc. Is that correct?
You know, I was a bit of a freak in graduate school. When I would go out to Palomar, I would be looking at galaxy pairs, and they would be obscure little NGC objects. But yet I was one of these folks that I would get out my celestial sphere. Maybe I was unique in even having a celestial sphere, but I'd get out my celestial sphere, and I'd identify what constellation my galaxies were in, so that when I was out there at the telescope, I could go out onto the catwalk, look up, and see, yep, there's where we're pointing right now. And if nothing else, it helped me tell if there weren't any clouds in the way. I love being able to make that connection between what I'm seeing through the telescope and what I can see with my naked eye. And that's something I try to get across to everybody in the parks, is that you can see everything with the naked eye. And even if you can't see the object itself, information, the awe and majesty behind it, you can at least tell where in the sky it is.
And I assume, too, that traveling to all these national parks, besides the beauty of the night sky, you've probably also gotten a very deep appreciation for the beauty just of sights here on Earth.
Absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that really hit home was the fact that the Earth is a planet. It's a planet amongst planets and a family of, well, ever-growing family of planets. We now know of hundreds out there in the galaxy. So to be able to be in a national park and look at these features around you that everyone else was seeing, but be able to put them into the context of planetary science and what NASA exploration of the other planets in our solar system has done, that's the other thing that I try to get across to the public now. Astronomy isn't just at night. It's on the ground by day as well.
Right, and I have to say I particularly like the section of your article where you discuss how one can get the feel for landscapes on other planets and moons by visiting national parks. Now I realize, and of course I was your editor for this article, and I gave you a word limit for how long your article could be. Were there other really interesting analogs or parallels with other worlds that you could bring up that you didn't have space to discuss in your article?
Well, the big one is I was up in Yellowstone National Park visiting Old Faithful in the middle of winter, and there snow all around, watching the geysers shoot off, it got me thinking of the geysers on Enceladus and being able to experience what it'd be like, this combination of the heat deep within the planet finding a way to release itself underneath this frigid sky. Well, that must be what it's like to be able to walk on that ice moon of Saturn.
Of course, Yellowstone is also getting some more negative attention, if you will, because it's a super volcano. And if it ever were to erupt, it would be a really bad thing for the U.S. and the whole world.
Absolutely. It'd be an absolute nightmare, but for a few brief seconds as a scientist, I would be so fascinated.
Right, just stay out of the way of the ash fall and the pyroclastic flows.
Yes, exactly. Well, I grew up in Oregon and Alaska as a child, so I saw Mount St. Helens erupt. Ooh. And then moved up to Alaska to have Mount St. Augustine erupt as well. So I have a long history of volcanoes. And you know, to be able to see the planet itself changing its face right there before you, that's something else that just really drives my scientific interest in the Earth as a planet amongst planets.
You know, it sounds like we need to send you to Io, the highly volcanic moon orbiting Jupiter.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, my colleague here at the University of Redlands, Dr. Julie Rathbun, her area of research is Loki, the largest volcano in the entire solar system, on Io. It's been actively erupting ever since it was discovered by Voyager. So I pop in and talk to her, and she can show me a map that if Loki was here on the Earth, it would be a lava lake the size of the entire L.A. basin. My audience love that graphic.
Now, also, your article talks about national parks in the United States. Have you visited any national parks in other nations?
I have. In fact, just this last fall, I was in France for a meeting, and I traveled to the Loire Valley, which is a national park. In fact, it's a UNESCO, UN World Heritage Site, and being able to look at the limestone caves, though the river would slowly erode through, would get me thinking about places like on Saturn's moon Titan, where we now think we see what look to be river valleys and channels leading into lakes and seas there at the poles. And thinking that here as I'm looking at water eroding away the limestone, perhaps to stand on that frigid moon of Titan, you'd be seeing not liquid water, but liquid methane eroding away the ice rock to form these natural landscape features. Those are the things I think about.